case today, which is Perinia versus City of Granite City. Mr. Hardy.
May it please the court. Morning, Your Honors. My name is William Hardy, and I represent the appellant, City of Granite City, in this matter. Your Honors, the primary issue in this case is whether the district court erred when he struck down the city's content-neutral leafletting ordinance, ordinance number 7861, as unconstitutional on its face. Now, we have addressed several issues in the brief, but during oral argument, my focus will be on the constitutional issues, in particular, sections 2B and 2C of the ordinance, which are the only portions of the ordinance that the plaintiff is attacking on appeal, and really the only portions that he contested were unconstitutional in the district court as well. Now, as you know from our briefs, two circuit courts have addressed ordinances similar to Section 2B. I'd like to start with 2B. 2B provides that no person shall deposit or throw any handbill in or upon any vehicle. It shall not be unlawful for a person to hand out or distribute a handbill to any occupant of a vehicle who is willing to accept it. Now, we have discussed at some length the two circuit-level decisions that have addressed the issue of handbilling and leafletting as it relates to privately owned vehicles. There's, of course, the Krantz decision out of the Eighth Circuit, which the district court relied upon, and there is also the Job decision, which is a much more recent decision, a 2005 decision, out of the Sixth Circuit. To my knowledge, no other circuit has addressed this issue, and we don't have any specific guidance, at least as it relates to leafletting on vehicles, from the Supreme Court either. Now, traditional leafletting, as we all know, is a protected First Amendment activity. We don't dispute that. And we don't dispute that Mr. Harina can hand out his literature to whoever he wants to on a public street, by going door to door, so on and so forth. The Supreme Court cases on this issue, and there's a long line of them, talk about the balancing that has always gone on. You have to balance the right of the person to engage in leafletting with the right of the person who may or may not want to receive that leafletting. But with respect to privately owned vehicles on public streets, I think there's a distinction from the case law. The Supreme Court cases, of course, going all the way back to the Snyder case, which was a leafletting case in 1939, the Martin case, the Jehovah's Witness case, door-to-door solicitation, a 1943 decision, all the way up to the Supreme Court's most recent decisions in Hill, the case involving an 8-foot perimeter near abortion clinics, up to the 2002 decision in the Watchtower case, which involved a requirement of a permit. All of those cases have struggled, it seems to me, with balancing the right of privacy rights of individuals with First Amendment rights to engage in leafletting, or there are cases involving picketing, of course, even on sidewalks outside of residences. That is one of the more recent cases, the Frisbee Supreme Court case, which some of you may be familiar with. That was an appeal out of the Seventh Circuit, and there the court said that even with picketing, we're going to allow restrictions that relate specifically that are directed specifically to a particular residence. Now, throughout these cases, three tests have emerged. And we've got the, and they're discussed in the Anderson case, which is, of course, this court is familiar with. The Anderson case is the bus case where the county of Milwaukee precluded handbilling or leafletting on publicly owned businesses, or on publicly owned buses, excuse me. The three types of tests that the court has applied are, number one, property that has traditionally been available for public expression. Two, a designated public forum or property the government has opened up or designated as a place for public expression. Or three, what is called a non-public forum. And that is public property which is not by tradition or designation a forum for public communication. Now, the question is, how do these tests apply to leafletting on privately owned vehicles? To my knowledge, the Job case out of the Sixth Circuit is the only case that has logically and coherently addressed this issue. We have a privately owned vehicle on a public street. Now, I would be the first one to admit that on a public sidewalk or on a public street where it's blocked off so that somebody can have a parade or something like that, Mr. Harina or anyone else can walk around and hand out leaflets to anyone willing to accept it. But it's an entirely different story when you're talking about putting a leaflet or a handbill on a person's privately owned vehicle. It's much more similar to the situation that the Supreme Court decided in Taxpayers versus Vincent, where the court said, look, even the government, even if you have public streets that are typically forums for expressive activity, that doesn't mean that they can place things on a utility pole or a fire hydrant or something like that, because there we're talking about something that's not a traditional public forum in the sense that that's a communications device. And that's what the Job Court really focuses in on. The court says, unlike a situation where you have a mailbox or you have someone leafletting and the traditional offer and exception, or even the well-trodden path to the front door, placing something on a car window is not, a vehicle is not a communications device. Now, public streets are open to public expression, but I'm not aware of any case other than perhaps the Krantz case. There's also a district court decision, which we've discussed at some length in our brief, the Dita case out of Wisconsin, which was not appealed to this court. I'm not aware of any case where a court has said, look, this is a traditional First Amendment activity to place leaflets on someone's car under the windshield wiper.
Well, of course, and you also point out there's alternate means of expression, and that's where we always get into the reasonable time, place, and manner, and that sort of thing. And then the issue of litter and what happens and what people pitch in. So those are other things that go into consideration. That's what the Job case was kind of focused upon. So you're distinguishing between going door-to-door, person-to-person, versus arbitrarily picking a car out of the street.
Absolutely. And what I'm saying, though, beyond that is that I think this court can say this is not a public forum where you have to apply the test, at least as it relates to the leafletting on automobiles, because this is a non-public forum. It's not public property where First Amendment activity of this sort is typically protected. A car, unlike a mailbox or unlike a person walking by or unlike a front door or unlike someone who wants to talk to someone, is not a communications device. I mean, the windshield wiper is for wiping the rain away when you're driving. It's not at all like the situation involving traditional leafletting. So the first argument is that a reasonableness standard should apply. But if the court wants to apply the public forum analysis, I would say that, look, the court ought to do it the way the Job Court did. The court ought to take a look at the alternative methods that are available. He can hand it to anyone. Unlike the City of Chicago ordinance that's in effect here, he can give it to anyone willing to accept it. Now, before I run out of time, I do want to get into Section 2C very briefly here because I want to save some time for rebuttal. Section 2C provides that no person shall deposit, place, or throw any handbill upon any private premises which are temporarily or continuously unoccupied.
I'm interested in hearing what your explanation is of what it means to be temporarily or continuously unoccupied.
Well,
if a family is gone for the day, for example, is their house temporarily or continuously unoccupied?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my reading of it is that you have to apply the common and commonly understood meaning of the word unoccupied. And in our reply brief, we get into that. We point out unoccupied typically means, look, nobody's living there. We're talking about a situation where it's vacant or whatever. Section 2D permits, if you have occupied residences, the person to either leave it under a flower pot as long as it's not going to blow away, or he can leave it with anyone who's there on the premises. It's our position, and you have to remember, Your Honors, that this was struck down on its face. This is not an as-applied challenge. The court is saying, on its face, this is unconstitutional. Now, the court never really got to any other issues, such as didn't find that it was vague or overbroad, but we don't think that it is. Now, of course, this is a de novo review, and this court can look at it as it sees fit. But I think it can be read, and, of course, the cases say, look, you don't have to have specific clarity. You don't have to have perfect clarity, I think the courts say. This statute, when you read C and D together, can be read to mean, look, you can leave this at any premise as long as someone's living there. That's what Section 2D is all about. What they're trying, the way I read it, what they're trying to prohibit is somebody leaving leaflets or whatever at a vacant property. Now, we could certainly debate, and I'm sure you could send me all kinds of hypotheticals about, well, how do you know if someone's home? Well, we're not talking about an as-applied challenge here, and I would say that this court can construe this and say, look, if it's a vacant home, which is the meaning of unoccupied, then that's a reasonable restriction. If someone comes along, if the city were to, for example, prosecute someone because they left it at a house that appeared to be occupied, and it turns out that no one was living there, they might have a pretty good as-applied argument. But that's not what we have here. Here we have a facial challenge. And I think when you read C and D together, it can reasonably be upheld. But lastly, and I see that I'm almost out of time before my rebuttal, none of the other provisions of the statute were challenged, yet the court struck down the entire statute. Section 2D was never challenged. Section 2E was never challenged. Section 2E, I think I've got the right one, says you can't put posters or canbills or leaflets on utility poles or fire hydrants. That's the taxpayer for Vincent case. You only have to apply reasonableness to that.
Well, as far as the occupied, that's, of course, the question, temporarily unoccupied. Now, I guess I could look at this and say we all know what continuously unoccupied means. So I assume unoccupied has to have the same definition for temporarily, which means there's nobody there for 6 months or something. I'm not sure.
I
assume that's what your argument is, at least that it's not just mean they're gone for the afternoon.
Yes, Your Honor.
Temporarily unoccupied has to be more than just not home.
That would be my reading of it. You know, you have, let me just give you a good example. You have someone who owns a house in Florida, and they go there every winter for 6 months. The house is unoccupied for 6 months. They have their mail forwarded and so forth. Now, I don't see anything facially unconstitutional about that. And again, I might have some trouble answering some hypotheticals, but I think the same would be true with respect to the Hill case, for example, where the court upheld an 8-foot restriction. I mean, what if you got a person who is hard of hearing? Does that mean they can't? And what if they want that material? The court says, still, look, let's apply this test and it's reasonable. So, Your Honors, at a minimum, we would ask that the entire sections, particularly Section 2B and the other sections that were not challenged, be upheld and the court reverse and remand with the relief that we requested in our brief. Thank you.
Mr. Craddock?
Thank you, members of the court. I'm Jason Craddock. I represent Don Arena, the appellee in this case. And I would like to begin by addressing counsel's comments about the temporarily and continuously unoccupied reference in 2C of the Granite City Ordinance, which was struck down by the trial court. Despite counsel's explanation, the fact remains the terms are not defined in the ordinance. They don't put anyone on notice as to what exactly that means to be temporarily unoccupied. And this is a strict liability offense. It doesn't say if you knowingly place a fire on a temporarily unoccupied residence. It's simply strict liability. And that's distinguished from the Hill versus Colorado case, in which there was a scienter requirement that you couldn't knowingly approach within an 8-foot radius of a person entering a healthcare facility. That's a very remarkable distinction, I submit.
But your challenge is not on overbreadth or vagueness is it? It's on the First Amendment right to handbill.
We did. The ordinance was struck down as being overbroad and facially invalid in that it prohibits first a wide universe of First Amendment activity.
Did your client challenge 2F also?
What we did with 2F was we challenged it only insofar as it could be construed to prohibit simply leaving a leaflet at a home that was where no one was there or where no consent was obtained. What we apparently the appellant has conceded that 2F actually only refers to posting, trying to display your message on someone's property, and we conceded in our brief that if that's what 2F is prohibiting, that would be constitutional under Taxpayers versus Vincent. So apparently we agree on that issue. It's 2B and 2C that were challenged and that we submit should remain declared unconstitutional.
As far as 2B is concerned, this is the vehicle. Why is that such an inhibition? Why is that there's so many other ways to distribute than to stick something under someone's windshield? What is the and there are lots of reasons of litter. Someone doesn't like it, they leave it on the windshield and can't see out the window, just things like that. What is the alternative? Aren't there many other means of distribution that this one is not such an imposition?
This court in the Weinberg case, Judge Mannion, decided that when you're analyzing whether something is an ample alternative channel of communication, you have to look at it from the speaker's point of view. And that was from Weinberg versus City of Chicago. If it's going to impose an unreasonable burden on the speaker to find the alternative, or if it's going to restrict his audience, then it's not amply an alternative. In this case,
if it's unreasonable, then when he can't speak to the owner of the car because the owner of the car isn't there, that he has to leave something under the windshield. Is that really a great limitation on a speaker who finds himself unable to speak because there's nobody there to listen?
I submit that it is, Your Honor, because he's not reaching his audience is restricted. If this leafleter wants to distribute a message, in this case, Mr. Harina is a Christian evangelist. He is compelled by the Bible to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible. He has limited time to do it, so he wants to go and put leaflets under cars parked along a public street, and he can hit several cars within a 15-minute, half-hour period. If he has to get permission before he can do that, it's very likely that no one will be coming back to their car when Mr. Harina is able to go out and place the leaflets on the cars.
So if someone comes out of the car and gets in the car and sees this thing, turns on their windshield wiper and knocks it off, it's the driver's fault, not the distributor's fault on litter.
We submit that it is, because the Mr. Harina's intent is not the intent of a litterer, and I would submit a leafleter's intent is not the same as the intent of a litterer. A litterer doesn't want to make a journey to a wastebasket. They want to just get rid of something that's in their hand. They're not trying to disseminate information. This court in cases going back to Struthers, Stratton, Watchtower versus Stratton, held that pamphlet distribution is an age-old form of missionary evangelism, and it holds the highest state of preaching of all other forms of religious freedom, as well as freedom of speech and freedom of press. So there's a vast difference between someone who is intending to exercise their First Amendment right by distributing pamphlets to as wide an audience as possible, and somebody who simply doesn't want to go walk down to the wastebasket and tosses a candy wrapper or piece of paper or something like that. And that's one of my chief complaints with the Job decision, the Sixth Circuit decision, why I urge this court not to follow that decision, because that decision is largely premised on the notion that a leafleter who's trying to give information to a vehicle owner is no different than a litterer. And that strips it of First Amendment dignity. Dissemination of information through leafleting, which has been cherished by the Supreme Court, by this court, by all courts, is being reduced to littering just because it happens to be a car. And in the Job decision, they allow you to place things on front porches at homes, but there's no qualitative difference between that private property interest and the private property interest of an automobile. It's still somebody who's putting a leaflet on a front porch is still walking on someone's private property and leaving something there. It could blow away. The person who owns the home may not want it. The interests are exactly the same as the interests involved with an automobile on a public street. You know, a windshield wiper does secure the leaflet well, and you know the person's not. They're not going into the car. They're simply putting it on the car in the same way they put it on the porch. How Job made a distinction, but saying it's okay to put it on a porch but not okay to put it on a car, simply a non sequitur. It doesn't logically follow.
Well, we don't have to deal with the cars in the driveway up by the garage and somebody puts it under the windshield there. That's not an issue here. I mean, that's different than on the public street, I presume.
Correct. One other thing I'd like to point out. In this case, the facts, I think, paint a nice picture that this law is not narrowly tailored to achieve its substantial government interests. Mr. Harina this case began because he put a track through the open window of someone's car, and the police officer happened to charge him under the old handbilling ordinance, which prohibited all leafleting, period. Which the city repealed after we had obtained a preliminary injunction. But what happened with Mr. Harina was that the charge was amended to trespass, and he pled guilty and paid a fine. So the trespass ordinance worked to punish the unwanted intrusion that the city has an interest in punishing. They don't need an ordinance like this.
But that's because the driver was in the car, and he said he didn't want it, and he shoved it in there anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, but so, I mean, it wasn't a matter of just confronting an empty car. So it was different, and that's why I guess he wanted to change the trespass, because it was different.
Well, he
didn't he agree to that, settle it or something or other?
He had, as we sought to dismiss the charge because of the unconstitutionality of the ordinance, we agreed to an amended charge of trespass. The purpose in bringing that up is to say that a trespass ordinance, a littering ordinance, a disorderly conduct ordinance, those ordinances will suffice. They're narrowly tailored means of punishing what the city's interests stated in the ordinance are, which is unwanted trespass, unwanted intrusion. And one thing the city tries to do with this ordinance is they want to prevent unwanted communication. Even the Job decision pointed out what the Struthers case of the U.S. Supreme Court says about the freedom to receive information, to receive literature being a paramount First Amendment interest. What Granite City's trying to do is they're trying to decide for every car owner what information they can or cannot receive, without giving them the opportunity to decide for themselves. And I see that my time is up.
Well, your time isn't up. But that's you get the red light when it's up.
Got the wrong light.
But anyway, you wouldn't agree that there's some other means of distribution. It's just kind of scattering it apart, or just throwing it out willy-nilly, or dropping it from an airplane. Obviously, there are limited things. There are reasonable limitations on the method of the expression with leafleting, aren't there?
Yes, the difference between leafleting, putting something on a front porch, secured under a flower pot, or putting it secured under a windshield wiper, that's a lot different than leaving it on a lawn.
Well,
or
both those two are different, and so is leaving it on a lawn, on the street, or on the sidewalk, I suppose.
I would submit the front porch and the car are analogous, because they're secure.
Argument.
The leaflet is secured under something, so it can't blow away, whereas if you're just putting it on someone's lawn, it can blow anywhere. And that's a qualitative difference. The other thing was the district court three times had told the city, give us some evidence that this is such a problem that you need an ordinance that restricts First Amendment speech to the extent that it does. And the city did not produce any evidence whatsoever. Even in the Jobe case, there was at least testimony from the mayor saying that littering was an actual problem and that this ordinance helped it. But there was no evidence put forward, and they had three opportunities to do that. And the Weinberg decision from this court made it very clear that a restriction on First Amendment activity cannot be based on speculation.
There's general knowledge. Nobody can say that they've driven a car that they haven't found something under their windshield. Most of us don't just throw it up in the air, put it in the car and throw it away when you get home or something, which is probably what most people would do. But apparently the testimony in Job's case was that isn't what everybody does. They throw it on the ground or something. And it's not religious. A lot of times it's advertising pizza or something. So it's not necessarily anything political or it'd be commercial. Just this, that litter is the result. At least that's the way the Job case.
The Supreme Court has made it clear in many cases that the burden should be on the recipient of speech to, if they don't want to hear the speech, to either avert their eyes, as in the Erznosnik case involving the drive-in theater, as well as the case where there was an expletive on someone's jacket. The court said, no, we can't punish the speaker. You can avert your eyes. The Madsen decision involving protests at abortion clinics, the court said punishing all images observable was going too far. That's burdening more speech than necessary. You can pull the blind. In this case,
you can take it off the windshield and not look at it, and put it on the seat, and get home and throw it away.
Absolutely. The Bulger versus Young's Drugs said the same thing. The journey from the mailbox to the wastebasket is an acceptable burden in the face of protecting the First Amendment interests of the speaker. And as I stated before, what the city's doing, they're preempting the decision of the person who had received the speech as to what they want to hear. I'm sure a lot of drivers want a menu put on their car because they don't know where they're going to eat lunch. They say, oh, good, I can go to this restaurant. They may want a political advertisement because they don't know who they're voting for in a local election. They may want a religious tract. They may want whatever might be placed on their car, and it's not for the city to decide ahead of time, we're going to protect you from anything that you may not want to see. It's pure speculation, and the First Amendment cannot be subverted because of speculation. I'd like to briefly mention the damages issue. The damages that the court awarded were based on concrete First Amendment losses. They were not based on the abstract value of First Amendment rights. And that the Watsika decision, which by the way said that going up to someone's house to leave a leaflet is a public forum, and that's the decision we rely on in saying that there was a public forum was an issue here with the automobiles and the houses. But as far as damages, Watsika upheld an award of damages of $5,000 20 years ago for concrete losses of First Amendment rights. The district court followed Watsika made findings of fact, which can't be disturbed unless clearly erroneous. And we submit that the court was well-grounded in that it credited Mr. Harina's testimony as to First Amendment rights that were actually lost, as to the personal humiliation and emotional distress he suffered. And I see that my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hardy, how much time? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Hardy.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I think you hit the nail on the head on one of your questions. Mr. Harina's counsel talks about how trespassing ordinances are sufficient for this. Well, as we point out in our reply brief, we didn't think that he would concede that if something is placed on vehicle after vehicle after vehicle, as he wants to do, and then the wind blows it away or you have snowy weather or somebody throws it off, that he would be cited for trespassing. That's the very problem. They're transferring that decision, or they're transferring that obligation to the owner of the private vehicle. This is not at all like the situation involving door-to-door solicitation or door-to-door leafletting. That is protected in the case law, in case after case after case. This is a privately owned vehicle on a public street. I'm not aware of any case. I know that we've all had leaflets, and I think a lot of us have been bothered by it, but it is not a public forum, as the Job Court, I think, indicated in its analysis, similar to the situation of the well-trodden path to the front door. The Weinberg case, Your Honor, the Weinberg case involved a total ban on the sale of books on public property within 1,000 feet of the United Center of Chicago. Leafletting was allowed, newspaper sales were allowed, all kinds of other things were allowed, but couldn't peddle these books within 1,000 feet. There were no alternatives there. Mr. Harina has all of his traditional leafletting First Amendment activities as defined by the case law. He can hand it to anyone. In fact, he can do more than he could do in the city of Chicago. If somebody stops in a car, they're parked in a car, and they have their window down, he can say, would you like to have this, and hand it to them, and the person can take it. But what he's saying is that he has a right, a First Amendment right, to place this on privately owned vehicles on public streets, no matter where they are, and he says he'll put it securely under a windshield wiper, or perhaps he'll put it in an open window, as he did before. But I can tell you that the court, our position is that there is evidence in the record, by the way. There's evidence of his own activity in putting this in the vehicle itself. And there's also the ordinance itself, which in the Frisbee case, the Supreme Court relied on extensively. In the Job decision, we're talking about a 1952 ordinance, so we didn't have evidence there. And the court said, look, we can apply common sense to this, as I think this court has indicated in its questions. I see that I'm out of time. That's all right. The damages issue has been addressed in the brief, so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. We move to the third case this morning, 520 South Michigan versus Shannon.